This planet is threatened with destruction, and we who live in it with death. The heavens reek, the waters below are foul, we are in a crisis.
This is a CBS News special, Earth Day, a question of survival.
Welcome to Balancing Life's Issues, the podcast. I'm your host, Kai, and today we are here to celebrate Earth Day, which occurs every year on April 22nd. But why this date? Well, as you just heard from a CBS Evening News clip from April 22, 1970, the nation came together and urged our leaders to act.
Good evening. A unique day in American history is ending, Earth Day, a day dedicated to enlisting all the citizens of a bountiful country in the common cause of saving life from the deadly byproducts of that bounty.
Reading from EPA.gov. In the spring of 1970, Senator Gaylord Nelson created Earth Day, knowing there were no legal or regulatory mechanisms to protect our environment. At that time, you could legally dump toxic waste into a local stream or spew black clouds of toxic smoke. The establishment of Earth Day pushed the conversation onto the national agenda. It made it important, and people reacted.
Earth Day still came through. Act or die. We begin our report with Bruce Morton in Denver.
Bicycles at the state capitol were a Denver symbol. Auto pollution is a major problem here in the country's 17th most polluted city. So
20 million Americans demonstrated in different U.S. cities, and it worked. In December 1970, Congress authorized the creation of new federal agency to tackle environmental issues, aptly named the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA. I wasn't one of those 20 million Americans. This was before my time, but I happened to know someone who was there.
Hi, my name's Beth Pollock. I am a corporate trainer on stress management, green trips for the homes, and special needs parenting.
I just wanted to find out from Beth, what was it like back on that day in 1970? Because as I sit here today, I had no idea that Earth Day 1970 was such a huge deal.
Well, I was on Long Island Sound, and we were outside in middle school on a field trip, and it had university students there, so that was exciting, seeing big kids. And it was very hopeful. I mean, pollution existed. Yes, you're being responsible, and, you know, what can we do? Let's fix and face the challenge. So not so scary as today, as we hear with global warming.
So I guess it's the sense of hopeful versus where we are today, which feels more dire. And as a new dad, I just kind of want to get a better sense of what's my role in preparing my son for a world that he'll be growing into.
Well, I think normal is just what you're used to. So my normal was vegetable garden and giving to others and getting cow manure, knowing what plants live together well. My mother had a greenhouse, and that really motivated some of the passive solar. She didn't want her plants to die if we were out of power because the sun did it. And that was like 1973. So it's doing the talk, right?
Doing the talk. And it's clear Beth's parents put her on the right track towards being more mindful about her footprint. But what was the biggest difference between then, that time in 1970, to today?
Now we look at how many Amazon packages do we get. It's so easy to consume. You know, we look at our wants, needs, and in the interest, that's the mediation part of my training. If I look at the interest, I want an earth to be healthy. Do we pick up more than the mess we know we made? Because we're always making a mess. So,
and the last thing I wanted to hear from Beth was, what lessons can we apply from that time in 1970 to what we're dealing with today?
There's power in collective people. As Mr. Rogers would say, in hard times, look for the people who are doing good. And knowledge is power. It was a national movement that worked globally. On the simplest level, with children in mind, are the waterways and the pathways clean? Do they look good? Would they be healthy habitat for animals? How do we produce those habitats, you know, and set boundaries? Yeah, this is what is important to me.
So as we look to the future on this Earth Day, it's not about the world you and I live in today, although it's clearly rapidly changing due to our impact. The ramifications are worse for those who we are bringing into this world, like my son Miles, who just turned 9 months old. So I wanted to bring on someone who I can empathize with due to the amount of time we don't have anymore because he is also a brand new dad. And not only that, he's the multimedia specialist here at BLI. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course. This is your first public podcast. How are you feeling?
Yeah, good. I'm usually behind the scenes, so this is kind of weird to be in front of the microphone, but here we are.
Well, no pressure. Well, I should say the pressure is off, or maybe there's a little bit of pressure. I guess we'll find out. What does Earth Day mean to you?
Earth Day is about, to me, preserving the environment and the ecosystem and in a way of leaving a responsible footprint on the earth as humans.
Great answer. We know the internet is flooded with information and it's hard to separate fact from fiction, right? Even as I was preparing for this episode, I had to peel back a few layers. But I just wanted to get you and our listeners hip to a few resources I came across as a good starting point. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, so there are three great resources you need to know about, okay? The first one is the EPA.gov. And specifically for Earth Day, /Earth Day. And then there's another great resource called earthday.org, which is the foundation built around Earth Day, which is every year on April 22nd. And then the last one is, you're going to love this name, treehugger.com.
Nice, totally hippie vibes. I like
yes,
that.
Very much so. But treehugger.com is great because there's a search function, so you can type in something like plastic recycling, and it'll give you a list of articles that they've written that are sourced scientifically. So you can see the sources at the bottom of the page. So if you need even further in-depth dive into what you're reading, you can go even further. It's pretty cool, right?
Nice. Okay. Bookmarked.
And so knowing all this, I kind of just wanted to throw out 3 to 4 things that are really easy, not very time-consuming, and are easy on the wallet. Sound okay?
Yeah. This is perfect.
All right. So first one, how often are you dealing with like your junk email?
I'll go through like a sweep of like unsubscribe maybe like twice a year.
Okay, cool. I mean, I'm more of like a daily rhythm. Like, don't email me. I'm getting ready. All right. I just want to keep my email clean. But did you know there's a service where you can opt out of your physical junk mail?
I had no idea.
Right? I didn't know either. I get all kinds of crap in the mail that I don't ever read that goes straight into the trash, right? And it should be no surprise that the effects of that are far-reaching. And according to the EPA, well over 4 million tons of junk mail is produced each year. And about half of that ends up in landfills, mostly unread.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about like how many times I go to the mailbox and then to the trash can.
Exactly.
And like, that's a lot.
So you can say goodbye to those pre-approved credit card stuff. All that can go away in a really simple step. All you have to do is go to optoutprescreen.com.
Okay.
Okay, you're going to provide some information and you're good. However, Greg, I got to hip you. There's one small thing that might hang you up, and I want you to take a deep breath before I tell you. Are you ready?
Okay.
You have to mail in the confirmation after doing it digitally. It's just totally, I don't understand it, but.
Well, it's like the nail in the coffin, right? It's just
exactly.
Like, here's
are
the
you
little,
sure?
Like,
yeah. Are you really going to send us your opt out? So, yeah, you got to do the digital form. We'll put all this information in the notes of this episode so you guys have the links.
And it could just be like anything. So it's just like, you know, the American Express like offer card.
Great question.
And like,
this is specifically for credit companies. Okay. It's going to get you off their mailing lists.
Okay. That's good. That definitely cuts down like at least half of the junk mail.
I'm more like 75% of my junk mail is credit related.
I think
so.
Like the other parts are just like silly. Like food service things, like stuff from HelloFresh, like all the time.
So we're gonna get to that one next. But first, have you switched everything over to paperless?
All your bills. Yeah, there are a few that like municipality things that like have to be by mail. But yeah, I'm pretty good about that.
Cool. And when it comes to the local stuff, that'll be the last thing we touch on. So is making sure we're all going paperless with our bills and all that kind of stuff. So the second one is, have you ever heard of Data and Marketing Association?
No.
Well, apparently, it's the largest trade association in the U.S. devoted to serving all aspects of marketing. And they basically control the mailing lists that maybe folks like HelloFresh are able to access in order to send you information if you haven't necessarily signed up for their services. So in order to opt out of those kind of marketing lists, you have to go to dmachoice.org and create a profile. The great thing is you can add up to 5 names per household on this profile. The only catch up here, though, is it's a $5 registration fee. So If you got $5 and you want to be opted out of those kinds of things, definitely go for it. I took a look at my junk mail. I don't really get a lot of that, so I haven't decided necessarily to sign up for that service quite yet.
Okay. All
right. Cool. Now, you had mentioned local municipality stuff, right?
Yeah.
I definitely get a lot of that, especially election season or utility bill from the village. But for those, you're going to need to go straight to the source. Do a little Googling, find the website, maybe even call your town hall and ask them to make sure that you are switched to paperless billing.
Mm, or I could unsubscribe from billing and they just don't have to bill me
there
anymore.
There you go. That'd yeah, really I would great. Love not to pay my water bill, right?
Okay, cool.
All righty. So that takes care of like kind of like our junk mail. And again, maybe 15 minutes of your time, Greg, and you could eliminate most of the physical junk mail that you'll receive in your lifetime. Pretty neat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Let's talk about recycling. Do you recycle?
Yes.
I have some bad news.
Okay.
And it's named plastics.
Uh-huh.
What percentage of plastics do you think are actually recycled?
Oh, gosh. I think this all the time, actually. I would hope that, you know, it's above 50% at least.
6%, bud.
Ugh.
It's brutal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one hit me in the stomach because I was kind of doing this research, and it's dropped from its peak, 9.5%. So yeah, it's not a good thing. And this includes things that are exported to China, right? Because we know that we export a lot of our plastic to be recycled in other places. But unfortunately, plastic is about as bad as it gets when it comes to things we use. However, there is good news here, and it's called glass. Do you recycle glass?
Yeah.
One of the key benefits of glass recycling is its low amount of energy required to melt it down for a new purpose. Glass is made from things like sand, soda ash, and limestone. And once melted, glass can be poured and molded into shapes of new bottles, jars, and containers. And it's estimated that 80% of glass recycled becomes reused in new products, which is pretty great.
Okay, that makes sense. And you know, like sometimes when you're on the beach and you see like glass, like worn glass that's been like around forever and it just like blends in with the rocks. So that like, even what you're saying makes a lot of sense to me. Do you know what I'm
Absolutely.
Talking about?
The problem is it takes 1 million years for glass to actually go away. So in a sense, I hear what you're saying, but I think we should reframe it in two different ways. First, there's glass you can recycle.
Uh-huh.
Clear glass that's used in containers, bottles, and jars can be recycled.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's glass that you cannot recycle or you need to find out more information about. And that would be colored glass. Your three main glasses are clear, amber, and green. Again, part of your research that you need to do with your municipality is, do these glasses need to be separated in order for proper recycling? Because the melting points of those glasses are different. So if I have a bunch of clear glass and some green gets thrown in there, you're actually going to spoil the whole batch.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and if the worker, who is, I'm sure, is many hours deep into sorting glass, you know, it's this idea of how can we help as much as possible before it gets to the person
right.
who's actually recycling. So I checked it out for my municipality. Turns out all that glass can go in there together, no problem. So homework for you, do some research to find out, can all my glass go in?
Right, because I'm thinking about it. There is an alcoholic beverage company that I enjoy that does green glass, right? And I'm like,
right.
Oh crap,
exactly.
Okay. And then there are some that are, yeah, what's the word you used? Amber, right? Like the interesting.
Now, Greg, I overheard that you have a bag full of light bulbs over there.
I do. I'm like, what do I do with these?
Not recyclable.
Okay.
In fact, they're sometimes considered hazardous waste. So you need, again, contact your local recycling center to see if they have an option for recycling these, or like a local consumer store, like a Lowe's or a Home Depot, should have places for you to be able to get rid of those things, along with windows, mirrors, all those kinds of products that we can't recycle.
Okay, good.
Okay, we're going to be wrapping up here shortly, I promise, but let's talk laundry. You ready?
Yeah.
How much laundry do you do now?
Oh my God. All the time.
You know, it's like our loads increased, you know, probably 2 to 3 times, and then folding time exponentially increased because you're folding these little tiny things.
Yeah.
So I wanted to hip you to something called EarthBreeze laundry detergent, Eco Sheets. Cool.
Okay.
So we were able to get rid of you know, your big plastic laundry detergent thing. We get in the mail once a month. It's 30 sheets of laundry detergent that smell great and are great for baby skin too. So you don't have to worry about that. And it comes in a paper envelope, which is completely recyclable.
Interesting. And so, like, this obviously is not like the liquid detergent that we're used to. It's just like a sheet.
No, it just comes in like a sheet. Yeah, and if you get it wet, it's going to go away, right? It's kind of like cotton candy,
yeah.
I guess.
And how big of a load does one sheet do? Is that like one full load?
Full load.
Holy cow.
So if you got a halfie, rip it in half.
Nice. All right.
Yeah. So you can get up to 60 loads. One a month is great for us. So.
Do you want to hear something really silly?
Totally.
I'll finish like a liquid laundry detergent bottle, and I don't know how to recycle it. I don't know what to do. So like do you like rinse something like that, or like thoroughly before you throw that into the recycling? Like what's the rule on like dirty versus clean?
In general, the best practice for recycling anything really is to make sure it's cleaned out, especially with food. Food can really ruin the recycling process. It contaminates the process. And on that note, if you're putting plastic bags into your recycling that holds your recycling, mm-hmm. Got to cut that out.
Good. I don't do that. Yeah. And I thought that was... Didn't know that affected.
Yeah,
anything,
plastic
so that's good.
Plastic bags ruin the process as well for recycling. So, last one, okay. And I know I can hear my baby upstairs, and it's time for me to take over. Do you use dryer sheets?
No.
Nice. I love to hear it.
It was not from an environmental perspective at all, other than just I think that they're a pain in the butt. But
yeah. Well, you're totally right, and they actually don't work. It's just something that was pushed onto us consumers and. Just kind of turned into something, I'm just supposed to do that, right? They absolutely don't necessarily work. There's no hard evidence on the effects of the chemicals they use in the dryer sheets. They don't necessarily work at all, frankly. But there's a great alternative, and we're talking dryer balls. You ever heard dryer balls?
No.
Dryer balls are amazing. We've been using them for years. They usually come in a set of three or six, and they're felted wool balls that you put in your dryer with your laundry, and they bounce around and kind of help keeps fluffed, and that allows air pockets to be formed to make sure your drying cycles are shorter, they're more efficient, and they get rid of static. And if you really, really, really need that dryer sheet scent that you love so much as you're folding laundry, all you got to do is put some essential oil on those dryer balls, and bang, your clothes are smelling like however you want them to smell like.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah. All righty. So I hope those four dirty tips of getting rid of your physical junk mail, you know, learning how to recycle glass appropriately, getting rid of dryer sheets, and hopping on to the laundry eco sheet bandwagon. I'm hoping I'm setting your household up for some success over there.
You're blowing my mind right now. These are all great tips. I really do appreciate it.
All right. Well, Greg, thank you so much for being here, and I'm sure I'll see you in, like, a Teams meeting in, like, a second.
Sounds good. Thanks, Guy.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
This has been a production of Balancing Life's Issues with your hosts, Kai Sorensen and Wendy Wallner. Produced by me, Kai. Rate, leave a review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen so you can get brand new episodes as they drop. Got an idea for the show? Email me, kai@balancinglifesissues.com. Anything to add, Miles?